Welcome to the Apple Context Machine, a podcast about all things Apple, with your hosts, Jeff Gamet and Brian Chaffin.
Today is March 30th, 2011, and this is the Apple Context Machine, episode number 188, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, counting instructor for Bono. Full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
You know, as long as you're giving advice to Bono, can you do something about that Spider-Man musical?
Was he involved in that?
Yeah, Bono and Edge wrote the music.
Huh. Interesting. I didn't actually realize that. And all the coverage I've seen on that thing, I somehow had never heard that particular thing there. Hey, we should mention just right off the top. I want to own up to something that we did wrong last time.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So Marion wrote in and nailed us for some math problems we had, which will be kind of funny in that we're going to make fun of a Dell guy for his bad math. But that's okay. We don't mind being hypocritical.
Yeah, it's what makes us so endearing.
Exactly. Anyway, we said that the iPad 2 is 0.2. How do we say it?
It's
0.2 pounds and 2 ounces lighter, which is
right. Correct.
Well, one of them is right.
Yes.
It is 0.2 pounds lighter,
which is like 3.5 ounces.
3.2 ounces.
Okay. So
and each tenth of a pound is 1.6 ounces. So anyway, Marion Delahan. I bet it's Delahan. What do you think?
I think that sounds good that way.
Nonetheless, Marion Delahan noticed our little faux pas and wrote in to correct us. And anyway, we appreciate that and stand corrected.
Yes, we do.
So there was something else I was hoping we could do today. I was hoping we could just sort of there's just two things that I was hoping we could talk about. And so rather than doing the full scripted intro with reading the news, I thought maybe we could just kind of get to both of those things.
I think that sounds like a good idea, especially because I know when you say, I just want to go right in, I'm about to get to go on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Well, that plus you lost the big file for a presentation you're doing tonight.
There's that too. It's got to be on a CD backed up somewhere, but it's not any place that I can find right now.
So that means that we're just going to dive right into it.
Yeah, and the irony, it's a podcasting class.
That is rather outstanding.
Yeah.
All right, so we have two topics. The first one is IDC's projections for the smartphone market, and the second one is some Apple death knell counter number 55, or Apple death knell number 55 from Dell. Let's do the more fun of the two second.
And I'm assuming that means you went to what I thought.
Yeah.
All right. So IDC is saying that Microsoft's Windows Phone platform will become the dominant smartphone player by 2015.
They're saying that Windows Phone will be number two by 2015. It'll basically overtake BlackBerry and iPhone.
Okay, so it'll be Android, Windows, iPhone.
Android, what IDC Windows thinks. Phone, iPhone, then BlackBerry. That's what they're projecting.
Wow, they really expect BlackBerry to be that high on the list still, which it may be.
Yeah, you know, I imagine that of the things that they said, that one will probably... bear out most closely to reality.
Yeah, I can see that actually, because there are a lot of companies that are heavily invested in RIM and BlackBerry technology, and that's not something that you just idly toss aside, because that's a lot of money.
Right, and the reality is the Research in Motion does enterprise really well. They do Exchange Server really well. They do security really well. Those are all things that are important to a lot of people.
Right, and they have a lot of well-established tools for managing large deployments of smartphones.
Right, right, right.
And that's an important thing.
They do enterprise well.
Yes, they do. I think I've heard that somewhere.
Where's that?
Oh, that's right. You just said it.
Oh. my apologies for being redundant. So the thing that's kind of... Not kind of. The thing that's interesting is that IDC didn't explicitly state it this way, but what they were effectively saying is that Windows Phone on Nokia is going to allow Nokia to keep the same market share that it's got today. They didn't explicitly say that, but if you do the math, that's what they're saying.
Huh. Okay. Kind of interesting.
And this is because, of course, Nokia has all but dropped Symbian, its own Symbian OS, and has said that it will be adopting the Windows Phone 7 and its successors for future smartphone products.
Do you remember when Palm did that because they thought that was going to help them?
Yeah, back when. I do.
Yeah.
That didn't work out so well for him.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if we might be seeing something similar getting ready to play out with Nokia and their smartphone division. I mean, Nokia is really big, so I can't see them just kind of shriveling up and then getting bought up for some of their intellectual technology. But I don't have a good feeling about their smartphone business.
Well, you know, I don't either. But as I said in our coverage of this IDC report, Nokia is dominant in every market that it competes in, except for the U.S.
True.
It doesn't do all that well with feature phones, and it does very poorly with smartphones here in the U.S. But let me rephrase that. It doesn't do as well with feature phones in the U.S. as it does elsewhere, but there's still a lot of Nokia devices that are sold in the country.
Oh yes,
but in every other country, Nokia is number one. They're number one with feature phones, and they're number one with smartphones too. And I don't think that anyone, including us, should be too quick to dismiss them as a future competitor. And I'll even add to that. That one of the things I like about what Microsoft has done with Windows Phone 7 is they haven't tried to copy Apple's iOS, which is what Google did with Android.
True. And actually, yeah, I'll agree. That's a point in Microsoft's favor, because they did decide to create a new interface, and they made their own interface. And actually, I'm kind of glad that they did, because that gives us a little bit of variety in the whole smartphone interface.
Right. Right. And it also, you know, it should protect them at least somewhat from some of the patent infringements that Apple is accusing Android device makers of engaging in. But be that as it may, I think that the key point there is that Windows Phone 7 is differentiated from iOS, specifically to iPhone. And Nokia has done a lot of really smart things with hardware, and Nokia has a really good presence in most of the world. And when you put those two things together, or those three things, or, you know, I don't know, 15 things, whatever it is, when you put all those things together, it is very possible that Nokia can stem its market share losses in the smartphone market by adopting this new OS. It's possible. I don't think that we should dismiss that.
No, we shouldn't, because we're in a very volatile market for smartphones, and things could change dramatically over the next few years.
Right.
And they will. So we'll just see how it really plays out and where everyone ends up.
Right.
Okay. Now, one thing you said in your article, which I thought was a really good observation, is that IDC is essentially assuming that everyone that's using a Symbian smartphone will become a Windows mobile phone user.
Right. Again, they didn't explicitly state that, but that's basically how the math works out.
Right. And I think that's a bit myopic, because if people are leaving behind their Symbian phones, they have multiple options. And it doesn't seem logical to assume that everyone that's going to retire their phone will just immediately move into a Windows mobile phone.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. And be that as it may, all these things together, I think that and you know, Ted Landau in our morning meeting today was pointing out that, you know, trying to look out into next year, let alone 4 years from now, is basically, you know, it's voodoo at best.
Right.
And so, you know, we really don't know where things are going. But, you know, this is the job of companies like IDC and Gartner and whatnot to actually project ahead where things are going. And I think that IDC has called this one wrong. While I'm not going to dismiss Nokia, I don't think that Windows Phone 7 is going to be the right route for them. And I don't think that Windows Phone 7 is going to be able to overtake even BlackBerry, let alone iPhone.
Yeah, Windows Phone 7, while there are some people that really, really like it, overall, the impression I'm getting is that people are somewhat nonplussed with that OS. And maybe that's because it's still relatively new and they aren't comfortable with it. But if it doesn't get a better reputation, it's going to be a serious uphill battle for Microsoft to gain a lot of market share.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all so far, and you know, it's still new in the game, but so far, Windows Phone 7 has only managed to lose market share for Microsoft. Microsoft has lost share since they released Windows Phone 7. They've lost market share since then. So, you know, at what point are we going to have some kind of big turnaround? But you know, it's. Just like it's, I think it'd be foolish to dismiss Nokia. I think it's always foolish to dismiss Microsoft as a competitor.
I agree, especially because Microsoft it's a massive company, and it has a lot of weight to throw around, and it may not move quickly, but like a glacier, it will plow its way down whatever path it wants.
Yep. Yeah. So if my own projections for 2015, my off-the-cuff projections are that Android will be on top, but that iOS is going to be a very close second and not a distant second. So right now, basically, IDC is saying that Android will have 45% of the market. Windows Phone 7 is going to be 20.9, and iPhone will have 15.3% of the market. I bet you it's going to be more like, you know, 35% for Android and 28% for iPhone. I think that Apple's going to gain momentum for iPhone, and that they're going to be a lot closer to Android than most people seem to think.
I think you're right. And I think when you break down the numbers, the actual number of iOS devices will far outnumber any individual Android device. So it's the accumulation of all Android devices that will put Android OS above iOS for market share.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that BlackBerry will at that point be a distant but still solid third, and that Windows Phone 7 is going to continue to lag behind them, which means that Nokia – you know what? I'll predict right here and now that Nokia is going to end up making some Android devices at some point too, as they realize that their Windows Phone 7 stuff isn't selling.
It wouldn't surprise me, especially since Android, from their perspective, is pretty much an open system. So they can get into making Android phones, even if it's more of like an experiment to see how they go. They can do that without as much investment as it would take to build other Windows phones or to ramp up their Symbian production again.
Yeah, I think Symbian's pretty much dead. But it wouldn't even surprise me. And to in many regards, I think that Nokia should consider doing this. But they should consider forking Android, you know, and taking over development of that fork for their own uses.
Well, they might as well. Pretty much everyone else has.
I wouldn't go that far, Jeff.
All right, maybe I'm being just a little cynical there.
I mean, we've had a company in China that did so, and we've had Verizon sort of screwing Google over with a couple of its devices. But by and large, the rest of the Android devices out there are running some version of Android that has been released by Google.
Yeah, that's true. So forking is probably not the right word, and I better pay attention to my diction, otherwise that's not going to sound like what I mean it to sound like. One of the big problems I see right now is not so much a forking, but an intentional hobbling, where people are left buying Android phones with old versions of the OS and no way to upgrade, and carriers are okay with that.
Yeah, that's very prevalent. And I think that those sorts of things are eventually going to catch up to the Android platform. We'll have to see, of course. But I think at some point consumers are going to actually realize that it turns out that an Android phone is not just as good as an iPhone.
Yeah. You know, for some people, it will be good enough. And for a lot of people, that's all they want is good enough. And they're willing to settle for something that burdens them with more compromises than they would otherwise like to have. But it's good enough.
Yep. Well, shall we move on to some fun with Dell?
Oh, sure.
Do you have anything else to say on IDC?
No, I don't. I'm glad I'm not a gambling man, because with my luck, I would gamble wrong and put everyone in the wrong order and lose money.
Fair enough. Let's see. So, a Dell marketing exec told CIO Magazine — that's CIO is a magazine that's aimed at the enterprise space — that the iPad is going to fail in enterprise. And, you know, this despite the fact that iPad is already in use by 80% of the Fortune 100.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, how about that? And what's even better than that ridiculous bit of prognostication are the two arguments that he sort of hinges said procrastination on.
I wouldn't say sort of hinges. I would say squarely places.
Okay, fair enough. The two arguments that he uses are that open is better. The enterprise wants open. And then, of course, that Apple's too expensive. Which, you know, kind of sound like arguments that are a little more appropriate to the computer market 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, you know, it's funny reading this stuff. I joked at the beginning of my column on this that, you know, I needed to check my calendar because for a second I thought it was maybe 2001, or, you know, maybe I should be partying like it's 1999. Because, I mean, his comments just seem so out of step with reality.
They do. And they sound very uninformed. And it sounds to me as if he doesn't even really know what the iPad is. He just knows that Apple is making some computery thingy. Therefore, it has to be expensive and closed.
That's awesome, man. That's good stuff. All right, so let's actually look at what he said. He said something to the effect, actually, this is a quote. Apple is great if you've got a lot of money and live on an island. It's not so great if you have to exist in a diverse, open, connected enterprise. Simple things become quite complex. We've taken a very considered approach to tablets, given that the vast majority of our business isn't in the consumer space. And he also said, I couldn't be happier that Apple has created a market and built up enthusiasm, but longer term, open, capable, and affordable will win, not closed, high price, and proprietary. Apple has done a really nice job. They've got a great product, but the challenge they've got is that already Android is outpacing them. I mean, is there any part of that that rings true with you?
All right, so I'll go out with a little bit of a stretch here and say, if you look at Android OS growth, it is growing quickly. That's all I've got.
Well, and Android smartphones have outpaced Apple's iPhone, right? Unit sales, not profit-wise, and maybe not even dollar-wise, but unit-wise, Android is now selling more smartphones than Apple in both the U.S. and the global markets.
Right.
But in tablets,
there is only one name right now.
Right. iPad is crushing the tablet market that it created. And so right there, Apple, Android is already outpacing them. When it comes to tablets, that is either vastly ignorant or it's a lie.
I'm certainly, yeah, you're right. It's ignorant or a lie. And I would like to think that it's ignorance so that I don't have to have my dreams and hopes crushed that there are honest executives out there.
Fair enough.
Now, keep in mind that there is no Android OS for tablets yet.
Well, Honeycomb.
Which is being delayed more.
Yeah, but it'll be released sooner rather than later.
Yes, it will.
I mean, for the sake of argument, let's just give that one to Google.
Okay.
Just for the sake of argument, because I'm with you. I mean,
okay. So we have Honeycomb available for tablets. I'm not helping, am I?
I didn't say let's just step into fantasy land. I just said let's give it to them.
Dude, I need parameters to work with. It, okay.
All right. Let Let's look forward to a few weeks from now when Honeycomb is likely to be released and make that a given. How about that? We'll make it a given that Honeycomb will be released.
Okay. Now I have my parameters. Now I'm anxiously awaiting the arrival of Honeycomb.
Exactly. But until then, I mean, in some ways, I don't even know where to start with this. So, first of all, he's. I mean, the other. I guess there is a third option to ignorance and lies, and that is that he is deliberately obfuscating Android's gains in smartphones with the tablet market, and that he's just being deliberately manipulative of the information,
which is not the same as lying.
But
it can get pretty damn close.
It sure can. And the thing is that I'm of the opinion, and we've talked about this, and I know I've written on it, that the tablet market is not going to work out the same way. The tablet market is going to be a lot more synonymous with the digital media device, the iPod market, than it is the smartphone market.
Okay, that's an important point right there. The way the tablet market is going to play out is not the way some other markets in the technology world have played out.
Yeah, smartphones and computers.
Right. And I think a lot of people are looking at what Apple is doing with iOS, and they're thinking that this is going to play out exactly the way the PC wars of the 80s and early 90s played out.
Right.
And that is not the case at all.
Right. And even in the computer market today, Apple has been reversing its market share losses from the 90s. I mean, Apple has been steadily gaining market share, I think, for the last 18 quarters in a row.
Right.
Right. So even there, it's you know, it's no longer an apt thing to say, in my opinion.
I have to agree. And but people that think that this is the same game playing out in the same way are missing the big picture here.
Right. You know, and again, as we've talked about in the past, with smartphones, you know, price, I think, definitely plays a role. I think that good enough can earn many makers market share. You know, the whole deal with the smartphone is that it needs to be able to connect to the internet and be able to browse the internet. I think that things like the apps become apps and even games become icing on the cake compared to the ability to connect to the internet. And when it comes to some games and connecting to the internet, Android is a fine choice.
Sure. Now, when you look at the whole package, which I think is important moving forward, because that's what people are really looking at, or at least a lot of consumers are. If you don't have an easy to use operating system, if you don't have an easy to use system for being able to purchase apps
and get updates to the OS
reliably and without being left behind, how about if I say without being left behind arbitrarily? Mm-hmm. You're not going to have a system. Well, geez, you also need to have an easy to use media purchasing and distribution system. So that would be music and video content. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the whole package, you are going to be missing out as a company. And right now, there's really only one place that you can go and have the whole package and have it as easy to use as it can possibly be right now.
You're talking about on tablets.
On tablets, yes. And that would be iOS.
Right. Right. And in addition to that, Apple is the price leader on tablets. So Andy Lark's assertion that Apple is pricey is not supported by the facts.
But Brian, he listed out a whole shopping list of what you have to buy and how much it costs. How could he be wrong?
He did. He said, an iPad with a keyboard, a mouse, and a case means you'll be at $1,500 or $1,600. That's double what you're paying. That's not feasible. What the hell does that even mean, Jeff? What does any of that even mean? Who's buying a keyboard, a mouse? Well, and then many people get a case, of course. But who's buying the keyboard and the mouse? And even if you did, how do you spend $1,500 or $1,600 doing so?
Oh, you're a really bad shopper. That's all I can figure.
I guess maybe you can get mechanical watches embedded in all of them.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, a mouse with a watch, that'd be kind of cool. But it's baffling to me that an executive would try to make this case, because it doesn't bear any scrutiny whatsoever.
Well, it also shows a complete lack of understanding about the products that you're competing with. Because saying that first, that you're spending $1,500 or $1,600, and then you toss in, and you're buying a keyboard and mouse. Now, granted, if you want a keyboard for your iPad, you can buy a keyboard for your iPad.
Yeah, you can, certainly. And you're going to spend somewhere between, you know, $50 and $100 bucks doing so.
Well, actually, if you find a low-power keyboard, like at Staples or something, you could be spending $15.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
If you want to go crappy for your keyboard, but yeah, so let's call it Let's call it $100 for your keyboard. Okay, and let's say you buy the 64 gig 3G model. So that's $829 plus $100 for a keyboard. So we're up to $929. And now you buy Apple's leather case. So that's another $70. And I lost track of how much money we just spent.
We're at $1,100. No, we're not. We're at $1,000.
Okay, so we're talking a serious hardcore keyboard, top of the line iPad, and Apple's top of the line case, and we hit $1,000.
Okay, and then you know, for some ridiculous reason, you want to try to use a mouse with it, and so you know, there's another $70 if you're buying a really good mouse. So who's buying a mouse with? No one's buying a mouse with a tablet. It's just stupid. It's dumb. This is so fracking stupid. This is you know, I in my column I put together a whole list of dumb things that Dell executives have said about Apple, and this may be the single most stupid thing to ever come from a Dell executive ever. Buying a mouse with the tab. Oh God, that just puts me on tilt. It puts me on life tilt.
See, I'm on Mr. Toad's wild ride.
Oh man. And so now, all right, so taking his ridiculous assertion aside and throwing out his complete BS math, right? Ignoring both of those things, the reality is that Apple is the price leader on tablets. Apple is the Dell of tablets when it comes to pricing, yet they remain the Apple of tablets when it comes to quality and experience.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, the potential competing tablets like the Tab. Okay, to get that at a price point that competes with Apple, well, Motorola kind of got caught with their pants down, and they had to restructure their product pricing because Apple undercut them.
Yeah, well, yeah, the Wi-Fi Zoom, 32 gig Zoom.
That's right, the Zoom.
Is the same price as Apple's Wi-Fi only iPad 2. Right, so Motorola did match there. If you get the 3G model, you're going to spend $799, which is $70 more than Apple's iPad 2 32 gig with the Wi-Fi and 3G.
Right, and as I recall, that includes a 2-year service contract, and with the iPad, there is no need for a contract.
No, not the $799 price is just buying it. You can actually get it for like, you know, let's for the sake of argument call it $400 if you buy contract. So you can actually get that subsidized if you do if you did get a contract. But the retail price on it is $799, which is more than the 32 gig 3G iPad 2.
Okay, so yeah, I guess I'm going to have to work harder to keep up on all of the random prices that tablet makers are throwing out at us now.
Right.
I'm going to need another drink.
So Motorola has definitely matched Apple on the 32 gig level, but they don't have, I mean, that's Motorola's entry and high level product. I mean, they don't have a cheaper entry level product like Apple does with the 16 gig model.
Right.
RIM's announced pricing for the Playbook matches Apple's entry-level pricing, but of course that's a 7-inch device as opposed to Apple's
9.7-inch
one. Yeah.
Oh, now the Zoom, the one that the Wi-Fi model, isn't that a 7-inch screen also?
Which one? The Zoom? No, the Zoom is actually a little bit bigger.
That okay, so that's the 10.1-inch screen?
It's a 10.1-inch, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Yeah, the Zoom actually has Apple Beat on a couple of specs, whereas Apple has the Zoom Beat on a couple of its specs.
Okay.
But the Zoom is larger and has a higher resolution.
All right. Now, the fact that here I am, and I'm in the middle of all of this stuff all the time, and I'm completely mixing up all of the specs across the board, that kind of tells me something. If I can't keep up on specs, and I'm paying attention to the whole package, what about the regular user? Are they caring about these specs at all? And I know the answer that I think is right, and the answer is not really. They're looking at the whole package now.
Well, that's the other cornerstone of my argument on why it is that the tablet market is going to work out like the iPod market and not the smartphone market, and that's that you don't have to have a tablet, so the experience is what matters. The apps matter. The entire experience of owning an iPad is what makes people buy an iPad.
True. I agree with that completely. And I think the people that aren't as concerned about the overall experience are people that are probably more technically oriented and are okay with having to go a little bit more hands-on to do the things they want with the device. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think the vast majority of consumers over time will be the ones that are looking for the experience. And that goes to Apple.
Right. Well, so, you know, again, looking at the iPod market, Apple, you know, when the iPod, of course, came out before the iPhone, Apple's only legacy was the Mac computer, which had a higher price point than PCs. And yes, we certainly made the argument many times that if you compare features, that they're actually pretty darn equitable with other companies. But the reality is, again, that entry level price point was higher, right?
Right.
But in the iPod space, no one could touch Apple when it came to. When it came to the pricing across its, you know, the Shuffle, the Nano, and the Classic, and then let alone the iPod Touch, no one could touch Apple's pricing with similar devices with similar capacities. They just couldn't do it, and that's because Apple had both a lock on a lot of components, and they had a volume edge that no one else could utilize. That's the same thing that's going on with the tablet market, and it's the biggest reason why I think that Apple's going to be able to maintain its price leader position in the tablet space.
I think you're right. And you know, in the iPod Touch market, so the I'll call that the high end,
like the products like the Zoom, market. Like the touch interface Zoom.
Yes. Device. So yeah, which was Zune HD. Okay, Zune HD, that was the first product that came out that I saw that I really thought had the potential to compete with iPod Touch. And if you're going to compete in the iPod market, that's what you have to shoot for, is the iPod Touch, I think. And that was really the only thing that I've seen come out that potentially could compete with the iPod Touch, and it didn't even come close. And Microsoft has quietly let the Zune die.
Right. Although they still have the Zune Store, but that's another issue. By the way, I just found the 7-inch Galaxy Tab, 16 gig, starting at $549 on Amazon.
Wow. Okay. And the 9.7-inch 16 gig Wi-Fi iPad starts at $499.
Yeah. Although, actually, it looks like this is with a 3G modem.
Okay. So,
they're beating Apple's entry level iPad 2 with 3G, which would be the 629.
$629.
But it's a 7-inch device.
Right.
So no one is beating Apple's pricing on tablets. No one. So coming back to Andy Lark, which is what we're in theory talking about, his assertion that Apple is pricey and that that's going to lose them the enterprise space for tablets just has no relationship whatsoever to reality. None. It's not supported by anything.
You know, Dell, their business model is to make the commoditized, wow, that was hard to say for some reason, commoditized computers. So lowest price they can get for all the components. They go together quickly, so they have a fast product turnover. I'm curious to see how they apply that business model to the tablet market, where we already have products like the iPad, which have set a bar for other companies to try and match as far as overall product quality goes. I'm just not seeing it happen. What I expect Dell to come out with, assuming that they can really get some tablets out the door, they're going to be blocky, they're going to be thick, they're going to be heavy, they're going to run hot, they won't have good battery life, and in comparison to what you can get from Apple, and what I'm hoping we will see out of the Playbook and out of HP's tablets, something that's more durable, I have a feeling that Dell is not going to be able to give us a product that can compete like that.
No, I don't think they will either. Now, the one area where they may be able to compete is integration with its own servers. So Exchange support, some things like that. They may be able to tap some of the things that have made BlackBerry such a success with Enterprise. But since they don't control the software and they don't really, well, they in theory could control the hardware in this case, but they're not really controlling the software. I'm not counting on that, but it's one thing that they could possibly do. And, you know, if they started bundling tablets with
that's it right there. It's not about making a quality product, and it's not about making something that can beat the iPad. It's about figuring out how they can shoehorn their tablets into their other corporate product sales.
Yeah. And if they could tailor make an Android tablet or a Windows tablet or whatever Microsoft eventually releases to compete with the media tablets, if they made some software that was tailor made for salespeople, maybe if they worked with Salesforce, of course Salesforce.com is working with Apple. I think most of the big what's that kind of software called? The sales management and
CRM.
Yeah, thank you. The most of the big CRM players are already working with Apple, but Dell sells a lot of computers with those kinds of products on them, or that at least will be used with those kinds of products, and so there are some things they can do with integration that Apple actually can't do because Apple isn't a big player on the PC side for enterprise.
No, they're not. But that kind of opens up an opportunity for some of the CRM companies that want to create their own iPad packages. Now, can that compete realistically with Dell being able to bundle their own mass-produced package thing? Nah, maybe not.
Yeah. No, I don't really think I don't really think Dell's going to have a lot of success with tablets, period. Because, again, I think that Apple's going to maintain iPod-like dominance of this particular space. But there are things that they can do if they're smart, which they're not. But if they're smart, there are things – well, I don't know. Michael Dell is smart. He just says stupid things sometimes. there are things that they can do that Apple can't do that could make them better players in enterprise than they would otherwise be. But it's not going to be because they're making a better product. It's not going to be because they're open. It's not going to be because they're cheaper. Because if Dell's producing a tablet that's cheaper than an iPad, it's going to be a big pile of crap physically.
I think you're right. A big steaming pile of crap.
Yep. No one else has been able to do it. I don't think Dell's going to be able to do it. You know, one of the interesting things about Dell is for most of its existence, it did all its manufacturing locally in the States, that is, and under with in factories that were owned and controlled by Dell. And that was their big advantage. They put all of their R&D efforts, or almost all of their R&D efforts, into my sort of joke has always been into figuring out how to put one less screw into it.
Sure. And yes, I know that you're running joke, but it's also totally spot on, because they were down to nickel and diming everything they did to shave off as much cost as they could.
Yeah, to ramp make up their own product worth as little as possible.
Right. And it's kind of funny, because their efforts to increase their profits as much as they possibly could involved creating the cheapest product they could possibly create.
Yeah, exactly. But now, today, Dell has been in the process for the last couple of years of doing what everybody else is doing and outsourcing their manufacturing to China. Well, now they don't have control over it. So they don't even have the same edge that they've historically had in that space. So
true.
I don't see them being able to leverage any of their manufacturing expertise in making a cheaper tablet than the iPad.
I don't see them being able to really compete on that level. Now, of course, on the other hand, Brian, you have to buy a mouse.
An iPad with the keyboard, a mouse, and a case means you'll be at $1,500, $1,600.
And that's just freaking nuts.
Oh, boy. I tell you what, that just puts me on tilt.
I know, which is exactly why I just tossed that in, so I could fire you up again. I'm so manipulating you today, and I'm sorry about that.
Play me like a radio.
Yeah.
Do you remember Michael Dell claiming to be the first PC maker to support Wi-Fi in a laptop?
Internal? Yes, I do. And this is after Phil Schiller jumped off scaffolding at Macworld Expo with a MacBook, or excuse me, with a clamshell iBook in his hands while a web page was loading.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Because basically Dell was the first, as long as you don't count Apple. And then, of course...
right.
Michael Dell said that he completely dismissed Apple's new Apple stores at the time, saying that you don't need stores to sell computers. And then, of course, there was the time when he said that Apple should shut its doors, sell its assets, and return the money to shareholders.
Right.
And
right.
Constantly dismissing Apple in the education market. Dell has massive Apple envy. And yes, I am using Apple as a euphemism for penis. It's funny how often they come out insulting Apple, or, you know, just, I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, I mean, Steve Jobs said a long time ago, the platform wars are over. And while he was lying, as far as Apple and Dell go, it was true.
Right.
You guys go do what you do. You don't need to insult. You embarrass yourself by insulting Apple. That's how I feel about it. They just embarrass themselves.
Yeah, and the thing, yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it's kind of sad because, you know, it's like the kid that's up on stage and his fly's open and everyone knows it, but you can't tell him while he's up on stage.
Right.
Yeah. I had more for that analogy, and it was going to go south really fast, so I just cut it off right there. You're welcome.
And thank you.
Yeah, and scene.
Alrighty, well, that probably takes us to the point where you should start working on replacing your file so that you can tell people how to podcast.
Oh my god, I can't believe that. How does that happen with all the backups and everything else I have?
Now, is this like some kind of keynote presentation?
It's a 3-hour class, an introduction to podcasting. Hmm. And so I just have a nice little list of notes and resources. Yeah, it's my handout.
I see.
Yeah. And it's mysteriously vanished.
Surely you have it in Time Machine somewhere.
That's what I'm hoping. And I've had a couple hard drive crashes for Time Machine, so it may not be there. But part of my backup plan includes regular hard drive backups, plus twice a month I archive stuff to DVDs.
Ah.
So it's definitely around. It's just a matter of figuring out where did it go.
Well, we should give you time to actually get to it.
All right. That sounds reasonable.
So take us out.
Okay. So if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to acm@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. And feel free to follow me on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow me at twitter.com/tmobrian. That's Brian with a Y. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.